welcome to the Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and this podcast is a fabulous opportunity for me to have a chat with a published author about what inspires them to write, how they go about the writing and publishing process, and what effect it's had on their life. And I also find out what tips they have for other aspiring authors. Today, we're travelling to sunny California to meet Victoria Fulton and Faith McLaren. The duo met at an online writing workshop, became best friends, wrote a rom-com together on the writing website Wattpad, and have now published their first book written together, the young adult novel Horror Hotel. Enjoy the show. It's so lovely to meet you today. So introduce yourself so I know who's who.
Okay, so I'm Victoria.
And I'm Faith. And we're the authors of Horror Hotel, which is a young adult horror novel.
And it's about a group of teenagers who go, they're sort of amateur YouTubers, and they go to a haunted hotel that's sort of inspired for us by the Cecil Hotel here in Los Angeles. And it's a haunted hotel. And they are doing an amateur sort of ghost hunt, recording it, and they stumble upon a body, and chaos ensues.
Chaos ensues. I love that. It sounds exactly like the kind of book that I would have read when I was a teenager. I think I love that kind of thing. Yeah. So I'm intrigued because you've written it between the two of you. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to write it, first of all?
So it kind of all started, and we've been writing together for a few years, and we had a few other things, actually adult things in the work, adult rom-com that was in the works for a long time. We were finally just able to announce it, but we saw it, actually we had a some friends sent us a tweet that was by Wendy Loggia, who is a legendary YA editor, and she was asking for submissions, basically proposals from authors who had agents, and asking for anything YA that was in the genres of romance, thriller, or horror. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't have anything, but we were like, let's try it. You know, when you're, you know, that kind of opportunity is like something you don't want to miss out on.
Yeah.
So
definitely. We had been, both of us love horror. So we never written long form horror, but both of us love it. So we were both kind of looking at the options, and we together were like, what about horror? Like,
and horror is kind of like not a crowded, I don't feel like it's a crowd. So we were trying to kind of like romance, they get a lot of romance submissions, you know, we knew that. So horror was something that we were like, it's not a crowded like marketplace for authors for submissions. So we wanted to do something that we thought was going to be the lowest hanging fruit, if you will. So we basically wrote a proposal, came up with an idea, and wrote a proposal in 5 days, and it was insane. It was an 11 page proposal and a 42 pages of the book. And a week later, our agent calls us and is like, this is a crazy story, but they made an offer. We were screaming. It was so cool. It was crazy. What inspired the idea. That's kind of what inspired the idea was like just an opportunity in the industry, which I think is kind of cool for authors to hear about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really interesting because, it just shows that it doesn't have to be something that's kind of been in your head forever. It could just be you see that opportunity. You think, I could do that. I could write that. That's really interesting. So tell me, this is what really intrigues me. How do two people plan and write a novel together?
For us specifically, it starts with a lot of talking. We are really good friends. So kind of first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And so we love to talk. We love to talk about ideas. We love to talk about what we enjoy in stories. So that's always been a part of our friendship and our partnership. But so it starts with a lot of talking. So the initial like kind of boiling down the idea to get something that we can actually write is going back and forth over characters verbally, just like we call it like breaking the story, right? Mm-hmm. Like getting into the mindset of these characters, this world that we want to create. And then it becomes more like splitting up, like who's going to take what first and kind of split up and then switch.
So in the case of the proposal, Rebecca was doing print pages and I was doing the actual proposal part because we are very different. So Rebecca can write. And I'm a little bit more like a little bit more of like a word surgery person.
Right.
So we're very different.
Different writing tech, like styles, okay. Things that we are gravitating towards usually in a project too. Mm-hmm.
So usually it's like one of us writes one chapter, then the other person comes in and adds their voice and their own, you know, adds or takes away or whatever, changes it or whatever. And then, mm-hmm. and then we switch. And that's
and then, how that works. Oh gosh. So you kind of write a chapter each, but then you put your own spin on the other's chapter. You don't find that you kind of end up with a kind of inconsistency. It all flows.
It's actually the best way for us to make sure that the voice stays consistent, uh-huh. because we are very like by ourselves, we can be very different, mm-hmm. as like the tone is very different. Together, we have a very specific tone. Mm-hmm. So it's for some reason, writing it that way keeps the tone consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. Gosh, no, that's really interesting. Really interesting. And how long did it take you to write them once you got the offer accepted, once you got your proposal accepted?
So we had a very fun deadline that we got put under because of the contract. One of the things that was part of it was they wanted to fill out this line and get books out. It's a paperback imprint. So we had like 8 weeks, like 2 months.
To do a first draft. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's possible, isn't it? I've written a book about writing books and I wrote it in a month and then.
So
it's possible, but it's still tight, isn't it? Wow.
It was interesting because it wasn't as hard as it sounds, but it also wasn't easy. And we didn't realize it maybe until after the fact that it was like a lot of work, but like very quickly. But it was also having that deadline got us out of our heads and made us really just do the work, which I always think can be a good thing. If you're nervous about sitting down to get started writing, creating something that kind of makes you.
Yeah.
And for us, we had a literal, like, you have to turn this in, really helps.
And then Allison, we turned in that first draft and our editor we were like, we have a break, you know, our editor got back to us within like 4 days, within 1 weekend.
We were like,
and then she was like, you have 2 weeks to revise. And we were like out of our minds. We were like, are you kidding me? We can't even take a break.
Like, it was so funny because the email came in and I was out like at a bookstore, literally like, I'm going to go get some books. I'm going to read. I'm going to just like,
no chance of reading.
And Victoria calls me and she's like, we got an email from our editor. And I was like, no, but we did it.
We did it. And it was our debut too. And ever. So we had never worked with an editor before. So this was very new for us. Do it. So we're gonna give ourselves a quick pat on the back.
Well done. Definitely. So once you turned it in and you turned in the edited version, mm-hmm. how involved were you in the publishing side of it then? What sort of involvement did you have with title and cover and all that sort of thing?
Well, we came up with the title. When we sold it, that was kind of one of the first things they were like, we have a title, a book on our list already that has kind of a similar title to this, the one that we originally pitched. So we got together and it was kind of like, what are we going to do? And Victoria actually had the brilliant idea of Horror Hotel. And we pitched that to them and they were like, yeah, that works.
We just needed like a really commercial title. It's a very commercial. Underlined is a very commercial imprint. So it's like horror for the masses. So it was like Horror Hotel, you know, the process. We actually, I think we were a part of like putting together like a Pinterest board for sort of the inspiration, and they hired an amazing artist. It's the cover art is like, I mean, everybody has, I think the cover is probably better than the book.
I'm sure it's not. It is
a work of art. And so I think people, if anything, people buy it because they love it on their bookshelf because it's so pretty. And the artist, I think it's David Seidman, something like that. He's like a horror, like a famous horror artist. He does a lot of commissions and stuff for like horror. And so, I mean, we since learned that he was really struggling with the pink and purple, but he did it. So that tells you how involved we were, because we were like, can we do pink and purple? And he was like,
it made a huge impact in the cover. It's pink and purple. It's very,
people love the colors. We've seen a lot of people talk about the colors. Yeah. So, and he appreciated it, because he's now, like he said, he's into the higher saturation life.
Yeah. So. Okay. Gosh, well, that's amazing. So quite involved in like those decisions and stuff, you know, making decisions and helping make decisions. And it was I feel like, you know, definitely our publisher gave us space to say what we wanted to say and took it into account. Cool. That was nice.
That's really good. Cause sometimes I've heard horror stories of authors who, have ended up with a book with a cover that they hate and they had no say over it. And that must be awful when you've put all your effort and your heart and soul into writing the book, and then it comes out looking like something that you don't like.
It's something that I feel like the agent has to fight for, is for you to have in the say contract. In the cover.
It has to be in the contract.
I don't think the author should not be involved in that process. Yeah. Although I'm sure authors, you know, depending on the author, maybe some people are too picky and like, you know, mess it up. So
maybe.
Who knows?
It's a balancing act. But I mean, that is one reason, like having an agent and expressing to your agent things that you really do want to be involved in, and trying to get into the contract when you're making a deal with the publisher really matters, because if you don't, then you don't have it in there explicitly, you know, you won't necessarily have that opportunity.
So one of the things that I think puts people off going the traditional publishing route and going through a publisher is that it can take a long time, can't it? I mean, it can take years actually for a book to turn around. But it sounds like because they were getting this line off the ground, it was really, I mean, obviously your turnaround time was really quick. Was it really quick with them as well? I mean, what was the total time from kind of putting in the pit? How long?
10 and a half months.
From start to finish to it being on the shelves. Yep. That's not bad, is it?
That's pretty good. It's usually I would say the average is about 18 months.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. 18 months to 2 years is what I've heard. Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. So 10 and a half months was really wild.
And to be fair, it is very fast, and it was constant kind of like deadline, then like working on things, and you know,
so there was fast.
It was a fast process. Like I kind of see how sometimes being slower could be nice. It felt fast.
But like you said, having a deadline really does kind of focus the mind and gets you doing it, doesn't it? So there must be so many books that are kind of sitting as a manuscript in a drawer or on someone's computer because they haven't got that deadline to work to, and it will never see the light of day because there's not that pressure. So like you said, having a deadline does work.
I don't know. I think it's just creating whatever pressure works for you. I think what is it that works for you? Because some people don't like deadlines. And that doesn't work for them, and they rebel.
Yeah, true.
So I think it's just finding whatever pressure works for you that gets you to sit down to finish the thing that you want to finish, if you really want to finish it.
Or get a partner.
Yeah.
You can pressure each other.
Seriously, I'm not great at finishing, but because Faith is so good at finishing things, that's a really good combination, because Faith can really drive a project to the end. And that helps me stay on track and focused. And, so I think that that's something to think about, I think writing partnerships can be complicated too. They each have their own complications, but I do think that sometimes you gotta like change it up a little bit, see if something else works for you.
Exactly. Try different things. So you said sometimes that can be complicated. Did you have any moments where one of you had come up with an idea and the other one was like, no, we can't do that? Or major disagreements along the way? Any characters that one of you loved and the other one wanted to kill off? Or
no,
I don't know.
And also I think because we spend so much time like talking beforehand and like really figuring out what matters in the story, it's not ever like just individual choice. It's like, what is going to work best for this book, this story that we're telling, these characters that we're creating, and the goals of this project? Because not every project has the same purpose. You know, like Horror Hotel is this very specific kind of purpose. Like, it's written for teens. It's supposed to be scary. It's, you know, supposed to be very fast paced. And so all of those things go into the decisions we make.
We really agree a lot. It's hard. Writing together is the easy part, I think, for us. Yeah. Now, I think that sometimes, having conflict over, characters, story, whatever, can be interesting too, because mm-hmm. you can really push an idea or push a story deeper. So it's okay either way. It's just that for our process that we tend to not have a ton of conflict in the actual writing process.
Yeah. And like idea and character creation and all of that.
Yeah. Not really. That's at all.
Good. We love a lot of the same things. So I think that helps.
Yeah. And by the sounds of it, it sounds like you really enjoy writing together as well. I get that real feeling that there's something you bounce off each other and it works.
It's fun. It's really fun. Yeah. I mean, we both have like kind of screenwriting in our backgrounds, and screenwriting is much more collaborative as well. And so I think we just kind of naturally like kind of the bouncing off ideas and the
writer's room vibe.
So how long's the book been out, and how is it doing? And what's happened as a result of it being published?
It's only been out for a month. Mm-hmm. So okay. Well, not even. Well, no, it's a month today.
Yay, happy birthday.
Yeah, 1 month anniversary. And I think it's doing well. Like, I mean, I don't, the thing is, and that's the thing that we've been like sort of discussing, like, it's a weird thing when you're traditionally published. I don't really feel like the publisher, they don't really prep you for what to expect or what this, like a benchmark is for sales numbers or anything like that. So you're just kind of, you're like, hopefully this is doing well, and so that they buy the next book or whatever. But we do not know, but we know the numbers, but we don't know if the numbers are good to them or not.
Right.
I mean, they look good to us.
They look good to us. We like the numbers, but
it's all right then. As long as you like them, that's fine. That's like
the numbers. They seem fine. I mean, I think that it is probably the thing that I wish we had more information about is like, what does a publisher want from an author if they're going to be buying another book from them?
Right. Yeah.
If your goal usually, when you work with a publisher and you launch a book, your goal usually is to write another book with that publisher because then they're more invested in you. Mm-hmm. And so it would be cool to have that information.
Yeah, it would be cool to have more transparency in the sales process that, I think that there's with authors, especially, there's sort of like a focus on your craft and just, the story and the content and like, don't worry about the sales so much, but the author is sort of expected to do a lot of the promo. And so I was going to ask you about that.
So this is another thing that is the kind of, do I self-publish or do I, a lot of people say, oh, I want to get a publishing deal because then they'll market my book for me, which I know is not true. So how much is the publisher doing and how much are you expected to do?
So I would say that the thing the publisher does that I think is harder with self-publishing is they get it into bookstores more readily. Now, not everybody has that experience. There have been some people, our book happened to be in a lot of bookstores, it's in all the bookstores, like Barnes & Noble around, like, in all the states and everything like that. We've checked.
That's really cool. It must be so cool to go in and see it on the shelves. That must
we
be
love
really
it.
Lovely.
We love it.
So fun.
And you can go
in. Do you go in and pull it out? Do you go in the bookshop and pull it out to make sure that everyone can see it? Yeah. Put it on the top.
Like, it's fun.
It's really fun. And the bookstores are always so, like, it doesn't matter. Barnes & Noble, like, the independent bookstores, they're always so nice to authors when they come in to sign their book. Like, they're so sweet about it.
Yeah,
always.
They're so, like, happy that you came in to sign. Because also those books do sell usually faster.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the real difference is that, hopefully your book will be in bookstores.
And if you're handling like hiring the artists, getting the copy, actual edit, all of the publishing of the
creation
book.
Of the book.
Yeah. The product. And so, I mean, no, you don't have full control, but also you're not handling it. You're not fronting the cost of it. You're not, all of those.
Yeah.
So you know, so that's an investment on the part of like the author if you're not going to go with a traditional publisher. Mm-hmm. But I think either way has its pros and its cons, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times. But I'm very like, I think there's room for both, and like, yeah. I think that, you know, but the thing I will say is that either way, you're probably going to have to do a lot of your own promo unless you have a kind of a major deal with a publisher. Then you don't have to do, Obama didn't have to do any promo. He was okay doing it himself.
They could just throw it out and it was just people buying.
That's right.
There's also a reason that he didn't self-publish, because he probably could have made a lot more money if he self-published. So it's kind of like, you know, but what I want to tell you is our first book was kind of technically self-published. Mm-hmm. Elias Kuhnau is our adult rom-com that's coming out with Forever through Hachette Book Group in next year. But we originally wrote that book on Wattpad, and it chapter by chapter, we were sick of writing in a vacuum. Just writing and not putting anything out to readers. So we just decided to put a book on Wattpad and write it chapter by chapter. Mm-hmm. So like each week we released a new chapter, and that book eventually sold to Hachette. But that process was also really fun, and it's technically that would be self-published, and we got a bigger deal because we self-published, to be honest with
you. Because it was successful. It was proven. On another platform. They saw it as a proven concept. They saw it as, and so we did get more investment, a good investment from a publisher, because we were a little bit more innovative. So there's like she said, like Victoria said, there's definitely like room for both. And as long as you're doing it smart and thinking about your ultimate, your goals and keeping your vision in mind, your vision, the author's vision is what really matters for their career.
So what is your vision?
Our vision.
I talked to an author in Canada, John Leister, a couple of weeks ago, and his vision was, he writes some kind of 1970s detective novels, and his vision was for one of them to be picked up and turned into a Netflix series or a Netflix film, which is a brilliant vision to have. So what's your vision?
Our vision is to I really want us to be world-class authors. Like, I want us to be like New York Times bestselling, like things turned into, you know, movies, TV shows. I mean, the vision is very, very, very big. I'm going to be honest with you. I want us to be like rock star writer. I just want, that's rock what star, I want.
I like rock star writers, because that definitely has like celebrity vibes to it.
Yeah. I mean, we do want to be celebrity authors for sure. I mean, how that happens, I have no clue. It's just one of those things. it's on the distant horizon that we're looking at with binoculars.
We just keep looking at it.
Occasionally think about it. New York Times bestseller would be cool, I think. I think having things turned into things, you know, movies. Honestly, TV and film, like, probably my first love. So being able to bridge that gap as well for us, and like actually also cross over into writing some for the screen, big or small, cool too.
Yeah, considering the first project we ever worked on together was a screenplay, and we both met we met in a young adult writing workshop, but we sort of really bonded over screenwriting and film and TV. Mm-hmm. So like that was like, so I think it would be cool to one day write a script together.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Or finish one of the scripts.
Finish one. So becoming rock star authors. Now, you've published this as Victoria and Faith. But those aren't actually your names, are they? So
No. Oh, we're actually Alex and Rebecca. I'm Alex.
I'm Rebecca.
Really, our voices. I don't know. But those aren't our real names.
So how does that work? When you're rock star writers and you're out in the world and everybody knows you, how do you think you tie up the pen names and the real names and the authors and the real people?
Yeah, we don't know, because like, so I mean, also like I write books, like solo projects as well. Like, cause I, like as Alex Victoria said, I am obsessed, and like love craft. And so I don't know how it works when we're Faith and Victoria and like me is me and like,
yeah,
she is her. Like, we don't know.
We don't know. Well, why did you decide to write this under pen names in the first place?
I think it was an issue of like logistics. We were doing something self-published, like Victoria and Faith, like on Wattpad. We were doing something kind of different, and you know, it's kind of like, in case it goes horribly wrong or something, I just like wanted it to be under a pen name or like something to protect ourselves.
That we kind of level of anonymity, just in case it. Yeah.
Well, and we were writing Ellie, which what Ellie Is Cool Now is a rom-com, and so I think we both also felt like our pen names were like rom-commy. You know,
yeah, it was, I think, because like Rebecca Fabian and Alexandra Krasinski are not quite as romantic.
So that's really interesting, actually. So I did NaNoWriMo for the first time last year.
Oh, you did?
I did. Yeah. After I've wanted to do it for years. I started in 2011 and I did about 3,000 words and life got in the way and I never did it since. And last year I actually did it. And it turned out to be a bit of a kind of contemporary romance book in the end. Now, my name is Alison Thompson, and I've published a couple of nonfiction books under Alison M. Thompson, because there's an Alison Thompson who does cooking books. But Alison Thompson for a kind of contemporary romance just doesn't, it doesn't have the right ring to it. So I'm thinking maybe Ali Thompson. A contemporary fiction novel. It's so weird, isn't it? That a name can make such a difference.
I mean, just think of like Stephen King. Like Stephen King sounds like a horror, like mogul writer, author, like empire. It sounds like that. So I think that, I don't know. And so I've thought about like if I did a solo project or something and it was like fantasy, I'd also thought about like, you know, because you know,
you
J.K. Rowling was J.K. and for a while, like people didn't really know she was a woman or a man.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, I was thinking A.V. Krasinski or something like that to like make it a little bit more like, especially if you write fantasy sometimes, you know, that there's been stigma, like boys reading things written by women and stuff like that. And so like, I don't know, so like kind of neutralize your name a little bit.
Yeah. I always like with the rom-coms, isn't it? It's been found that it's harder for books written by men to sell because people don't. I mean, there's a couple of really good ones in the UK. There's a writer called Mike Gale who's really good. There's Matt Haig. There's Nick Alexander, all male rom-com writers here. But I think on the whole, people want books written by women, don't they, when it comes to that kind of thing. It's so strange.
Kind of like you know, Nora Ephron or whatever. Like I want when I don't know, and it's especially if they're writing now, they're writing men. Yeah. You know, like from the male perspective, that might be a little different. But I think like the female's perspective is a little harder to nail if you're a man, I think, for you know, I don't know. Maybe
for romance. For romance.
Yeah. I mean, at least in screenwriting, if you've ever like read screenplays written by men, sometimes the women are not portrayed.
Let's not start on that. We could probably do a whole podcast about that actually, but So what advice would you have for anyone else who's always wanted to write a novel and never got around to doing it?
You want to go first?
You go first. Okay. I feel like you have the best advice first.
So, I mean, I would say the key for me has always just been if you want to do something, no one's going to make you do it except you. I mean, although I sometimes make Victoria do it.
But
at the end of the day, it's writing isn't scary. It's just something that you do step by step. So take it, break it down into pieces. What is the first thing you have to do? You have to figure out your pitch. So I always start with a pitch and we do that together as well. And so start with a pitch, start with like, what is the idea that you want to tell? And then start thinking about the characters and just like take it step by step. Don't let it get overwhelming. And then when you actually do finally have to sit down to the blank page, it only has to stay blank if you don't put anything on it. So even if the first thing you put on it is, this is the first sentence of my book, or the title of your book, or this thing, it's no longer blank. And so moving on, like, so, but it stays blank if you are too afraid to put words down. So my, mm-hmm. my whole thing is like, get outside of your comfort, getting outside of your comfort zone in writing is really just taking the steps necessary. And it's yeah. never, it's,
my favorite thing that Faith always says is just write.
Just do it.
Just write.
Just write. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Like, definitely.
It's like, yeah. just get out of your own way and just write. Like mm-hmm. you don't yeah. like no one, there's nothing bad. Like you're not going to, it's not brain surgery. Like it's just writing.
Yeah. It's yeah. like take that yeah. energy, because it's like not easy for everyone to sit down and just write, but taking that energy and that, like, cause like it is easy for this one to sit down and but it is the truth. You have to sit, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
feels, sometimes it feels a lot better when it's done mm-hmm. and not always in progress. Sometimes some people are the type of writer that they feel so good once they've done it mm-hmm. versus before or during.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
I do think there's a point where you get into it.
You can yeah. get very,
I also, for the actual career part of the process, like writing the novel and like I think, like, you know, be open, like, so the novel's one way to write. There are lots of other ways to write. Yes. I think being, you know, because some people will launch careers off of short stories. Mm-hmm. So be open. So yeah, you want to write that novel, but, you know, also think of like the different, like, kind of follow, I think you have to follow your sort of internal guidance system, your internal mm-hmm. GPS, and yeah. just see what do you, so like right now, I have a business, outside of, our writing stuff. I have a business, and my business partner, has really struggled the last few years to write. She's also a writer, and she just started like writing short stories because it sounded fun. And she's yeah. been having a lot more fun just doing short stories. She's like been a playwright and tried a few other things, but right now short stories is the thing. You never know what can happen from a short story mm-hmm. or from some other, or, you know, doing something creative with social media. I mean, I've seen tons of people, you know, get like deals and cool stuff off of Instagram or TikTok or whatever. So
be creative. Yeah.
Webtoon yeah. or Wattpad mm-hmm. or, you know, there's so many places now that you can put work out there that isn't mm-hmm. a full novel, that isn't like the scary 80,000 to 100,000 words.
Actually, you know? The Martian, the guy who wrote The Martian, which I think was that movie with Matt Damon. The book for that, he wrote on a blog. And
he did, yeah.
Yeah. Audience. Isn't that cool? And like, he self-published that. And then eventually now, I think his last deal was like seven figures or something. I mean, that's incredible. So
yeah. You never do that. Like you said, it's just writing, isn't it? It's, I mean, for me, NaNoWriMo was really good, because just having to sit down and write those sort of 1600 words mm-hmm. every day. And if I didn't write them, yeah, okay, I could leave them till the next day, but then I've got 3,500 words to write. And then I've got 9,000 words. Yeah.
That becomes the scary thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So just writing it meant I had to write. I just sat and write, and it might have been rubbish, but I got the words out there and I wrote it. So,
you did. Yeah. And I think honestly, it's like, it is like, I mean, you probably hear this a lot, but it is like a muscle that once you're doing it regularly, it becomes something that isn't always so hard to sit down in.
Yeah.
And it's like, so like, I think one reason I'm not in my way as much energetically with writing, with putting, so I can just write, is that I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. It is the thing that I want to do more than anything. And I don't know if I've always been that way or if it's something that happened because I've become that way. And now it is my existence, but it's something that you can train yourself into as well. Like you don't just become prolific. It's like, my son always wants, he's learning guitar right now, and he like, well, he's good, but when he sits down, when he's practicing, it's like, it's not easy right at first. And it's like, you're not going to sound like a professional musician when you're just learning you've only known a couple of chords. So it's like, you have to build up your repertoire. And
I guess it's going through the stages, isn't it? You start off at kind of, I want to write. And then I am writing, and then I am a writer. You just become, it's that sort of progress to that stage. So you've mentioned that you both have other writing projects on the go. What's next for you now after this book?
For us together?
Yeah.
Together or separately?
So we actually have, I think I mentioned obviously like several times, we have Elias Cool Now, the rom-com that's coming out, I think next year at some point. So we're going to probably be doing the finishing touches on that book. Like now, I think we're getting on this call. I don't know, finally. I mean, this has been three long years. Because this deal came to us like 3 years ago. So we finally were just able to announce. It took forever because of the logistics of everything that the way it was written on Wattpad, and then Wattpad was involved. So like there was a lot of logistics that just prolonged the process, which is interesting. So anyways, we have that coming out hopefully next year, but we're gonna be we're finishing that. So that will be really cool. And then we're writing proposals for new things.
So the YA. We're working on a new YA.
I was gonna say, I know obviously Horror Hotel's only just out and you don't know how that's doing at the minute, really, and if they're going to ask you for a second book, but will you be writing more horror for the YA market?
We hope so. We're hoping to write more Ghost Gang. To be honest with you, the Ghost Gang is the central characters of Horror Hotel. So we're working on a proposal for more books under that sort of character dynamic. So
I should keep you going.
You never know. I mean, listen, it's one of those things that you write the proposal and you hope they buy it. And if they don't, you get either show them something else or move on, whatever.
Definitely. And could you see Horror Hotel becoming a film one day? Is that one that you'd like to?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, so interestingly enough, I just spotted there was this, I think when you have little groups of characters that are doing like, you know, especially if you get a series, I think like the potential for like YA series. And I was talking about like it would be cool as like an animated series. I actually saw just recently that there was this YA series called Supernatural Academy that I'd never even heard of, but was like a really cute series on HBO Max. So I'm just like, you never know. Like I've never even heard of this. Like, I mean, it did really well, the book series, but like, it's like an animated series and it's so cute. And I'm like, you never know, like what's going to get picked up and made, you know, you just never know. So I would love that.
We think the ghost gang would be fun on TV. So
I mean, I'm thinking back to sort of the Red Hand Gang and the things that I watched in the, 1970s, the 1980s. And a kind of modern day version of that would be the whole sort of Famous Five. You know, I grew up on the Famous Five and the Secret Seven and all those sort of things. It sounds like a sort of modern day version.
Yeah.
Of that. Sounds brilliant. Yeah. It's been an... I'm going to draw this to a close because I don't know if you can hear, it's raining here. And sometimes when it rains, my internet cuts out. So I'm going to go before I get cut off. But it's been an absolute pleasure meeting both of you today. Where can people find out more about you online?
So you can follow us on Instagram or Twitter, Victoria X Faith. At Victoria X Faith, and we don't have a website yet. We're working on it, but once we get that up, there will be a website, not yet. So far it's the socials. So
well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and you know, all the best with Horror Hotel. I might go and buy it. It sounds really good.
Thank you for having us, Allison.
Thank you so much.
It's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
Good. Bye.
Victoria and Faith for being my guests on the show today. Their book Horror Hotel is available now from Amazon and all good bookshops, and you can also catch up with them on Instagram and Twitter. Just search for Victoria X Faith. The links are in the show notes. If you're feeling inspired to put pen to paper, then I would love to help you. Just go to my website www.theprooffairy.com to find out how I can help with mentoring, group writing programs, self-publishing services, and much more. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with details on how to apply to be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, review it, and tell your friends about it. This has been a Proof Fairy production, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.